Sibanda and her accomplices, her husband, Tongai Zireni Mutengerere, and a family friend, Darlington Nyawungwe, were all sentenced to death by hanging by Justice Felistus Chatukuta for murdering Daniel Stole in 2010 and stealing the deceased vehicle. Justice Chatukuta found no extenuating circumstances and sentenced the three to death. Zimbabwe Women Lawyers Association, representing the death row inmates, the late Kumalo and Sibanda, on a pro bono basis, approached the Constitutional Court in Harare seeking an order directing the Minister of Justice and the Prosecutor General to take steps to ensure that all death sentences imposed on women be set aside and substituted with appropriate jail terms. But Vice President and Minister responsible for Justice, Emmerson Mnangagwa, had opposed the application, arguing that it had been wrongly placed before the Constitutional Court. Mnangagwa said, quote, "It is clear that Section 48(2)(e) of the Constitution of Zimbabwe confers a right on all persons, the right to seek a pardon or a commutation of their death penalty from the President of the Republic of Zimbabwe." He added that such a right extends to all women in terms of Section 48(2)(d) and includes women in the situation of applicants upon whom the death penalty was imposed prior to the promulgation of the Constitution, but in respect of whom the sentence has not yet been carried out. Sibanda's lawyer, Advocate Fadzima Here, says she withdrew the matter from the Constitutional Court after it emerged that the state had removed her client from the death row.
She's now, she was removed from solitary confinement and from death row, and she's now serving a term of life imprisonment, so she's in the ordinary section of Chikurubi.
Zimbabwe's constitution allows the death penalty, but no one has been executed since 2004, in part because there was no hangman. Mnangagwa, who was once sentenced to death by the colonial government of Ian Douglas Smith, has vowed not to sign any execution warrants. Africa Director of the International Commission of Jurists, Arnold Tsunga, welcomed the removal of Sibanda from death row, but said there are still too many people on the death row in Zimbabwe.
I think it is significant in the sense that we no longer have a female on the death row. But the problem is that we still have too many people on the death row. I think we have about 94 death row prisoners who are currently incarcerated at Chikurubi Maximum Prison as well as Harare Remand. So when you look at one out of 94 people, then it's not really significant. But I think to the extent that the implementation of the constitutional provision that sort of discriminatory says that women should not be subjected to the death sentence, I think it can only be applauded.
Tsunga also raised concern with the law, which seems to discriminate against men.
It is discrimination, and the logic is not easy to understand, because as I said, that we have 94 death row prisoners. Some have stayed for periods that are ranging between 4 and 20 years, and then at the same time, all of these are human beings. You know, the tendency is that all people, whether women, men, children, are all human beings, and they should really be subjected to the same standards, and the respect of their human rights and human dignity should all be equal.
Senior researcher Dewama Vinga of the Human Rights Watch concurs, noting that the death sentence must be abolished for all Zimbabweans.
The ultimate goal would be to get rid of the death penalty in Zimbabwe, to make sure that there are no circumstances under which the state is permitted to kill.
The government has now gazetted the General Laws Amendment Bill to align the Constitution, as University of Zimbabwe constitutional law expert and president of the National Constitutional Assembly Party, law professor Love Momaduku, explains.
Yes, there is a bill, the General Laws Amendment Bill, which seeks to align a number of laws with the Constitution. Now, one of the provisions in that bill relates to the question of the death penalty. In the Constitution, the provision is for you impose the death penalty where they are aggravating circumstances. So the bill is now defining what aggravating circumstances are, which will attract the death penalty. But in terms of that bill, the way they are defining aggravating circumstances is such that virtually anything will be aggravating. So it will mean that the death penalty will be more available than what the Constitution contemplates if that bill becomes law.
But what crimes qualify for hanging? We asked Maduku.
Yeah, that is also clear. I think the death penalty is now only available for the crime of murder. It will not be available for any other offense. But that has always been the law, except that it was also available for crimes like treason. But now it cannot be imposed for a crime like treason.
Zimbabwean defense lawyers have argued that keeping convicted persons on death row for years before execution amounts to cruel and unusual punishment, which the Constitution says is illegal. The debate over the death penalty has been complicated in recent years by such concerns as the fairness of the criminal justice system, the role of doctors in carrying out executions, and the possibility of reform and rehabilitation among death row inmates. Mavinga said in light of these developments, executing people is uncalled for. Advocates for the abolishment of the death penalty in Africa have also been emboldened by developments in America, where authorities in some states have botched executions. A death row inmate in Oklahoma, Clayton Lockett, 38, suffered a prolonged execution after the lethal injection he was given failed to work. He eventually died of a heart attack. The lethal injection was developed in the 1970s as an alternative to electrocution. In all but one of the 37 American states that currently have death penalty statutes, only Nebraska still uses the electric chair. Human rights groups have also raised serious concern with the flaws in the justice delivery system that has seen innocent people being sentenced to death. David Keaton, the first man exonerated from death row in the modern era of death penalty, that is from 1973 to present, died on July 3 this year at the age of 63. Keaton was convicted and sentenced to death in Florida in 1971 for the murder of an off-duty police officer. His conviction was based on a coerced confession and erroneous eyewitness testimony. In 1973, the actual perpetrator was discovered because of new evidence and Keaton was exonerated. In 2003, Keaton became a founding member of Witness to Innocence, an organization of death row exonerees who share their stories to educate the public about the death penalty. Kathy Spielman, director of programs and outreach at Witness to Innocence, said of Keaton, quote, "His life was very difficult. He was sentenced to death row as a teenager," end quote. There have been 154 exonerated from death row in the United States. Executive Director of Witness to Innocence, Magdaleno Lino Ross Avila, says there are still many cases where people are wrongly convicted.
Well, there's the case of three gentlemen in Ohio that were put on death row on the testimony of a 10-year-old child. And this 10-year-old child was given $50 and a bicycle from the police in order to lie. And when the child tried to say that years later that, you know, he wanted to tell the truth, that these were not the men, that he had never seen them, then they told him that his mother, because he was still a child, his mother would be taken into jail for perjury, which means lying. When in fact it was the police that had forced this little kid through bribery to get these men in jail. And these three men in Ohio who have been released were in there for a total of 100 years, about 33 years between each of them. And that was unjust. And in many cases, we're finding where there has been prosecutorial misconduct, where the prosecutor didn't provide all of the evidence to the defense, and or lied, or the police lied during the trials. In many cases, you know, when we're dealing with capital punishment, is that the people that are accused of murder don't have the money to hire the best defense. And as you know, if in a country like the United States, if you have enough money, you're probably going to have a better day in court than if you have no money.
Those who support the death penalty argue that removing the death penalty might actually result in more murders. But Rose Avila says there is no evidence to support this.
Yeah, first of all, you know, most of the people who commit murder don't think about being punished. And it's not like, you know, it's not like a mafia or a government death squad where they go out and plan to murder people. As you know, are you from Harare, Zimbabwe?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I've been to Harare in 1988, which is 100 years ago.
Wow.
with the rock and roll concert that we did there for Amnesty International when I was with Amnesty. And now I'm with Witness to Innocence. So what happens in the States, like we have a county called Harris County in Texas, which is Houston and the city of Houston, basically. They have gotten more death warrants, more death sentence, more of their citizens, Harris County, executed, and it has not lowered the crime rate. The thing that we, since we began fighting the death penalty when it was reinstated, they always said, well, you know, if you have the death penalty, it's going to make people think twice about killing people. It doesn't. And, you know, when many of the people who commit crimes have had many other social issues, abuse, neglect, things that were done to them, poverty. And so it's not like they're eliminating any of that. And most of the women who have committed murders are, had been victims of sexual or physical assaults. So unless you start cleaning up some of the problems we have with society, you're not going to be able to do that. But you're not, you know, by executing people has never been a way that you can diminish crime. And it hasn't worked, and it's a falsehood.
Tsunga concurs.
The deterrence argument in capital punishment has long been disproved because studies in many countries, for example, the U.S., where you still have some states imposing death penalties, empirical studies have tended to show that in countries where there's a death sentence, I mean, or states where death sentence is imposed, the level of crime does not diminish or reduce. Or that in states where the death sentence is abolished, for example, Minnesota, that serious crime increases. So again, the argument on deterrence falls flat when you look at it empirically. The whole of Europe, generally, there's no death sentence. But crime in countries like Holland, they're actually now dismantling prisons because of the fact that the requirement to put people in jail is reducing. So I think the issue of maintaining a death sentence against men is discriminatory, but it's also irrational because it's not a deterrent.
Zimbabwe National Traditional Healers Association Secretary for Education, Sekuru Peter Sibanda, says in the Shona culture, people were not sentenced to death for murder, but they were allowed to compensate the family of the deceased.
In our traditional Shona culture, actually, we call it a spiritual appeasing, whereby if you murdered someone, you are entitled to, actually, the family members are entitled to pay back as in form of even kettles, not in form of a human being like what we used to do long back. But in today's world, is what we encourage people to do, if it is like you murdered someone, you are therefore to pay back, to compensate in form of kettle or another thing. Not the human being.
Amnesty International notes that in 2014, there were an alarming number of countries that used the death penalty to tackle real or perceived threats to state security linked to terrorism. The number of death sentences recorded in 2014 jumped by almost 500 compared to 2013, mainly because of the sharp spikes in Egypt and Nigeria, including mass sentencing in both countries in the context of internal conflict and political stability. China in 2014 carried out more executions than the rest of the world put together. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Blessing Zulu.